I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and risk taker Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say nuts.
Nah, nuts. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. And I'd say I hedge my bets. I'm not really a risk taker.
Yeah?
Not anymore. Not at this point in my life.
Okay.
I get the opportunity every once in a while to take a big risk, and I say to myself, no, Soren, think of your family.
What was the last risk you took, do you think?
Ooh, like a really risky thing.
Yeah.
We went snowboarding with work. We went, well, snowboarding and skiing, but we went up to Park City, Utah, and at one point, we get into this backcountry area and I see a kicker and I'm like, that's the perfect size for a backflip.
Kicker?
Jump. And it's got a nice, easy transition off the other side. And I'm like, that's the perfect size for a backflip. Now, I haven't done a backflip in over a decade, but I was like, you know how to do this. You do them all the time on the trampoline. And then I thought, well, no, I haven't jumped on a trampoline in at least that long too. I don't know that I could possibly, it's entirely possible that this ends with serious injury. But I was like, yeah, but come on. Like, what if you still had it? Wouldn't that, you'd be riding high on that for so long. And so I did it and shattered my goggles. But otherwise, I was fine.
How did you shattered your goggles. How did you land?
So I came out of it. Hit the board. The board hit the ground, but I came down on my face came down on my knee.
Yeah.
So the goggles have like two lenses in them. It's like the outside lens is just shattered, like broken, completely shattered. And I couldn't really use them after that. Couldn't see through them.
Damn.
But, and I did took a big spill after it. It wasn't like I did it and landed it or anything. It was a yard sale, which if you're not familiar with that term, everything I had went flying everywhere. So hat, and I wasn't wearing a helmet either, which was very stupid. And mittens, like everything's all over the ground now.
Man,
and I was like, oh well.
The risk that I took is so much lower stakes than that.
Okay,
I'm moving. I'm in the process of moving, and I very dramatically decided to pack up all of my cold weather clothes forever.
And get rid of them?
Yeah. No, not get rid of them. Just like put them away from easy access. Even though it might get cold again, still.
So
I've just decided I'm done. I'm done with winter.
So something that everybody else is likely doing at this exact moment,
yeah,
maybe even as they listen to this podcast, should feel brave for what they're doing.
Absolutely, 100%.
Because it's one of the biggest choices you've made of recent.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a small risk because the sickness is going around and all that. So you're really taking a chance with your immune system, I mean.
Yeah.
By only wearing shorts and t-shirts. Actually, I would assume sleeveless shirts, if I know you
100%
correctly. So you put them all away. Well,
yeah.
Dan, I don't know what to tell you. Good luck with that. I feel like April storms are pretty common. April showers is a saying, isn't it?
I've never heard of that.
April showers brings May flowers?
No, that's... no. No, I think it was the saying is it was warm once in April and it will be forever and winter is dead.
God, I wish that was true. I desperately wish that was true. I went on a trip recently and I just got back yesterday and it's so fucking cold in LA right now.
Really? It's how cold? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Cold and overcast. Hasn't gotten above 60. So that's cold for
you
here.
Fucking dick.
But it's not supposed to be like that right now, is what I'm saying. I'm supposed to be able to be like, I'm going to run. I'm going to go for a run and step outside and be like, ah, perfect weather for running. And instead, I'm walking outside and being like, it's going to take me at least 3.5 minutes to warm up.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Maeve, for supporting our podcast. Dogs need unprocessed, high-protein, low-carb diets that kibble and fresh foods don't deliver. Make the switch to raw today, right now! Maeve is offering $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com/QQ. And you've gotten some rain, right?
Yeah, we got dumped on. It's been a real problem for everybody here, except, you know, the plants, which I think love it, I'm told. But for everybody else, it's like there's flooding problems. There's everybody's roof is leaking. Nobody can get it fixed because when everybody's roof is leaking, everybody's calling roofers and they're indisposed for like 6 months.
Wow. I hadn't even considered that.
We were going back into the office briefly at my work this year, which was really nice. It was great to be back in the office. And then we gave up on it immediately because everybody had to stay home because they'd have contractors there. Like whether they lived in an apartment or they lived in a house, there was somebody who was at their house now like digging through their roof and be like, oh, this looks like it's dripping to the walls. Oh, the walls have a lot of black mold in them. We got to do some remediation, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So on these Zooms, all you hear is dunk, 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 dunk. But it's just because we're ill prepared for it. It's not a lot of rain compared to anywhere else in the world that generally gets rain. But in the same way that I made fun of everyone for not being able to deal with snow, we just don't fucking get it here. So it's not our fault.
Yeah, no, of course. All right, Soren, I got a quick question for you.
Yeah. Go. Oh, this is early. This is great. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. Let me get settled. I'm ready. My body's ready. I'm ready to answer.
Okay, great. What is a piece of pop culture from your past that you love that you don't want to revisit? I can start. I loved the show Scrubs growing up so much. I fucking loved that show. I was so into it. The writing was so fun and funny to me. I really dumbly took the wrong response to that show, which I watched the show that made me laugh, and I thought, should I be a doctor? Which was wrong. No, I should be a comedy writer. That's the message that I should have taken. It's a show I love that I know is probably problematic at this point. And
I didn't watch enough
I'm
of it
so certain that it is problematic
brain.
That I don't want to revisit it to confirm that. So I want to just like let it be a thing in my past that I loved and was wrong about, period.
Already I've seen some of your history get think-pieced. I've seen How I Met Your Mother end up in that, relegated to that spot where people are like, no, How I Met Your Mother's problematic.
Another show I love.
Yeah. And I just don't know enough about Scrubs. I know Zach Braff had some problems, but I don't know enough about it to know whether
you didn't watch it.
No, not regularly. I have like a very sporadic history of like, I would catch an episode a season, basically.
Man, that was like appointment viewing in college for me and my roommate.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys see yourselves as Donald Faison and Zach Braff?
Absolutely.
Well, it's a story about friendship. What could be problematic about that? Don't answer that. I'm sure that there's something. Immediately things that came to my mind were, oh no, it doesn't hold up only because it's it's problematic now. It was like something that I latched onto when I was young for the same reason that teen boys latch onto a lot of really toxic stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think there's two of them. One is Windy City Heat. Do you know what that is?
Is that the fake reality show with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie about a fake reality show. They get this guy, they convince this guy that there's a, well, it's not a reality show. They convince this guy that they're making a movie and that he's going to be the star of it. And then they start filming this movie and they just put him through so much shit. And this is like a sad guy.
Yeah.
A guy that thinks very highly of himself, but like it's all insecurity. It's like built on this, it's this hollow kingdom he's built around himself. And they just exploit it. They exploit it at every turn and just push him to the brink constantly. And it's rough. But it's, as a teenager, it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
It was so funny. It reminded me of like Jerky Boys type of humor where it's like, you've got somebody who probably doesn't deserve all this, and you are just relentless with them.
Man, I remember that.
Did you watch Windy City Heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy Perry. Like a real specimen of a human. And they're like, oh, let's just see what happens. Let's put him in a jar and shake it and see what happens, basically. So I think that would probably be bad. Although it's still like I would choose that as like one of the things that inform my sense of humor.
Right. I think to look back on it, we would decide, oh, we were making fun of someone who was like clearly on the autism spectrum, unfortunately.
Oh, God. I'm sure that that's the case. Yeah. And another one for me is a book that this is a book that you and I have a shared history with, because it's a book that I gave you to read that you never read.
Okay,
it's good. Also my answer to the question of what's your favorite book. And now I think I might have to like stop doing that. Because
is this Killing Fields? This is an
London Fields by
London
Martin
Fields.
Amis.
Okay,
London Fields by Martin Amis. It's a God. It was like such a good book. I loved it, and it wasn't even from childhood or anything. I mean, this is from adulthood. This is like in my 20s. This was my favorite book, and I would reread it. And just like thinking back on it now, the main female character in it is not really a character. She's just like this hunk of sex.
Jesus.
It's not a really realized character at all. I think that the whole story is built around her murder, murder for the reasons of sex. And it's rough, I think, probably looking back on it. And I used to like try and pinpoint people in my life where I was like, oh yeah, she's a Nicola Six. Nicola Six was her name. And I was like, oh yeah, that's Nicola Six. That's Nicola Six.
Nicole of Six?
No, Nicola.
Nicola Six.
Six. Okay. Yeah. I think that if I was to go read it again, I would be like, oh man, you can't keep telling people this is your favorite book. Also, Martin Amis turned out to be a real dickhead.
Really?
As he got older, he became very, very right wing, and in England, so like less right wing than here.
Yeah,
but became very right wing, curmudgeon-y, and just kind of an asshole.
Damn it.
Yeah, so you know, not a good track record. But I'm trying to. I mean, I couldn't think of anything that wouldn't be. It wouldn't be because it's not problematic. Like, is there anything from my childhood or from my young adulthood that I really loved that I can't revisit because I'm like, nah, it just wouldn't. I think it might be dumb now.
Yeah.
Maybe Gangs of New York. I have a feeling Gangs of New York might just be shitty.
No, it's great. Come on.
I think that there are star wipes in Gangs of New York. I think we just didn't know how to make movies yet. So like at the time we were like, yeah, this is good. But if you watch it now, you'd be like, oh no, we do it better now. We know how to do it. Just like trailers. You know, like it took them a long time to figure out the recipe for a trailer.
I still see the fields
of the Serengeti. The action, the romance, the intrigue. Like we sucked at it.
Man, You're really in my head. I do think Gangs of New York was great, but now I'm second guessing it.
It might suck, man.
It might be terrible. It was. It took two DVDs.
I can guarantee that Cameron Diaz sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that it might. That might be like the thread. And if you start pulling there, you're gonna be like, oh, there's a lot here that sucks. I'm pretty sure they've got like some weird wipes and stuff. Oh, yeah. And the montages. I think we didn't know how to do montages yet. I think that there are some very silly montages in that movie.
Fuck.
We should maybe rewatch it. When you're here in LA.
Hey, what? Can you continue that song? What song is that?
I just made it up.
Okay.
Yeah. I just thought it would be fun to sing it. Because okay. I was excited, and when I get excited about things, I sing them.
Sure. But there's not more to that song.
Once.
Oh, boy.
There was a boy. He didn't know where to live. We didn't know whether he should put away his winter clothes. Where's the warmest spot? Where's the warmest spot in the country? LA, when you're here in LA. So it wasn't a successful song.
No.
This is why music's magic to me. When I like other people just like write songs, I'm like, stop. How did you fucking do that?
No, but I love your commitment to it. Did you know that a dog eating kibble every single day is like a human consuming a diet of 100% processed foods? No matter your species, fillers, additives, and synthetics are not optimal sources of nutrition. Enter Mave Raw Food for Dogs, formulated by PhD veterinary nutritionists with real human-grade ingredients you can name just by looking. Plus, it's bite-sized and ready for your dog to eat right out of the bag. No mess, no prep. Just open, pour, and enjoy. I love my dog Jackson, and I want what's best for him. I want him to be happy eating the food that he likes, and he loves Mave. It comes in a bag, and I put it in the freezer, and I don't have to thaw it. I just dump it out into his bowl, and he eats it, and he loves it. He loves the crunch of the frozen food. It's raw veggies, and he loves it, and he eats it, and it's so great. I was so excited to try Mave. My dog was a picky eater, and he loves this food. Dogs need unprocessed, high-protein, low-carb diets that kibble and fresh foods don't deliver. Mave supports benefits you can smell, feel, and see, from better breath and reduced itching and shedding to regular bowel movements and maintaining a healthy weight. Who else can say they get all their favorite foods every single day? Jackson can. Can you? No, your diet is worse than Jackson because you don't eat Mave. Make the switch to raw today. Right now, Mave is offering $40 off your first order at meetmave.com/QQ. Go to meetmave.com/QQ. That's MEETMAEV to receive $40 off your first order.
But
this
I am
episode
excited.
Got so off the rails.
Sorry.
So
I'm,
quickly.
Here's why no. I'm all over the place. I'm currently writing my episode for
yes.
American Dad.
Yeah.
And when I'm in that zone, I get a little like manic and weird because I'm alone for long periods of time.
Of course.
Just thinking about whether to delete or re-add the word the. And you spend enough time doing that and then you talk to another person. It's like the floodgates open and you're like, ah, human contact. And I'm sorry that you're at the other end.
No,
of that.
No, spigot. I love it. You, how are you, so you don't have to check in with work at all in this process? You just write?
I've had to do some stuff for my previous episode.
Okay.
That I've been deeply annoyed by because I feel like I've deserved to just be able to write. I get in this zone where like, it's hard to explain to people who don't write, but like you don't just like squeeze it in for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Here and there. It's like a steep ramp and You have to get a running start at it each time you do it. And you don't just like go halfway up and they're like, and now I'll take a little break on the side of this ramp and then just start again whenever I feel like it. No, you go all the way back to the bottom, motherfucker. And then you get that run up again and you do it again.
Yeah.
And so I get frustrated by anybody who's like, oh no, I need you to do something else. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have to eat lunch? But that's why? What? I'm supposed to be writing. But yeah, I was in, I just got back from a trip with my wife to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
My kids were there.
Cool.
it wasn't just with her, but while I was there, I should have been writing. And there were certainly opportunities. Like my daughter would, during her nap, my wife would be like, well, you should write right now. And I'm like, nah, that's not how it works. I can't watch all of RoboCop right now.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
Writing is a complicated process.
And so I would just put it off, or I would occasionally try and start and then get very frustrated if I had to stop. And then I'm like pissy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm not nice about it. I wish that I could do it better. It's because I'm so desperate to get it done at all times that like that desperation leads to me being very mean to other people.
That's crazy. I've never known you to be mean or rude. And I know I've worked with you when you've had deadlines before, but you've never been like unpleasant.
The nice thing was that my deadlines usually were on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. So I did all of that over the weekend.
Okay. So you contained the violence outside of work hours.
Yes. I can think of one instance in which I needed to get stuff done. And we were filming. We were filming something. I don't even know. It was an Agents of Cracked episode. Mm-hmm. And we were filming really, really late into the night in the other building. And eventually I was like, guys, I have to go.
Oh, no. I think that might have been Three Dead Friends.
Oh, was that? Yeah, that was Three Dead Friends.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think we were. It was the first time Cody was out in L.A., Cody Johnston. And we challenged ourselves to write a multi-episode arc to shoot overnight for no clear reason. And we roped you into it and made you sleep on the floor somewhere until we like poked you with a stick to wake you up to be part of it.
And that was the only time I think I've walked off a set.
Yeah. And even then you weren't mean about it. You were just like, guys, I'm so sorry. I have to go. And we're like, yeah, that makes sense. Let's just film you real quick.
I do get, and maybe that's good that it's not like, it's not my signature to get really angry when I'm on deadline, but I do get extremely stressed and I'm not good at compartmentalizing that stress and being like, well, that just belongs to writing. I'm like, no, it goes to all over my life.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get a piece of this. You're not like that?
No, I'm angry all the time.
Yeah. Do you freak out though? I mean, when you're on deadline, are you, I have so much time for this and I'm still like, the entire time I will worry from even to the moment when I'm done with it and I'm still tinkering and tinkering and tinkering. I'll still be a wreck about it.
It's a great question. I don't think I'm mean or rude about it. I think I just completely disappear. Like when I'm on deadline, you can't access me.
That's true. I remember when you were writing your book, How to Fight Presidents, available in all Barnes and Nobles, that you didn't do your job for a while. And we all did a lot of covering and realized how big Dan's job was.
Fully disappeared.
we were like, oh, fuck. All right. Well, what's he actually doing? He's doing all of this? Well, God damn it. Well, maybe like six of us could do it.
That's kind. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Okay, great.
You're moving.
Yeah.
Quick question, Dan. Where are you moving?
I'm moving from one Jersey Shore town to another Jersey Shore town.
Oh, I hope they're rival towns.
I'm going to continue living on the beach for the rest of my life if everything works out for me.
What? Can I ask what prompted this decision?
I can't live in my current place anymore.
Okay.
It's full of bugs and mice, and it's falling apart, and I hate it.
Yeah, good. This other town, is it? What's the, like, your senior citizen ratio?
It's even older than where I am now.
Oh, that's so good for you. I love that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I ask because you can basically live wherever you want now because you're no longer beholden to going into a desk job.
That's right.
And you've chosen the Jersey Shore, which, I mean, I wouldn't say that's a bad choice. I loved going to the Jersey Shore when I was a kid. I have very fond memories of that place. But I was curious, like, you could be in Montana if you wanted to.
I could. What's in Montana? What's good about Montana?
I don't fucking know. I haven't been there. I don't know. Mountains, I guess.
Sure.
But a wide Montana sky? Didn't John Denver say something about that? I was thinking about it because I was just in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And while every time that I go to Tucson, for people who live in Tucson, it's a very charming city. I love what you've done with the place. But every time that I'm there, I think to myself, why the fuck does anybody live here? why do we carve this out of the desert?
So you've also traveled a lot. Has there been any place that has tempted you to move from LA to there? Like, it is?
Yeah, there are areas of Utah that I really like.
Really?
Yeah, just because of the religion. Here's what I think. I think the people who live in like the Sonoran Desert or in Death Valley or in Joshua Tree or Palm Springs, like all these places where it's like real desert living and it's hot and it's desolate and all the animals are like rust colored and prickly. none of these people have seen what a real pretty desert could be. And Utah has these like gorgeous sandstone deserts that are, you still have like some of, there's some redeeming value to it. Here, this is such a mean thing to say. Sonoran Desert's fine. It's a fine desert. It's the only place you get those giant cactus. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
They don't grow anywhere else in the world. They grow in this desert. You get these forests of them, basically. It is beautiful for, I would say, 15 minutes a day. It's this wild animal that you're with and you can't like look directly at it because it's, in this case, it's because it's so, the sun's so bright and it's hard to even see, but like it's stark, it's tough, it's oppressive with the heat. And in the winter, it's oppressive with the cold because like the ground can't hold any of the heat. And it's just a rough place for people who have been like, yeah, let's like build a town here.
Yeah.
And I don't totally understand it. But there are, if you get there at sunrise or sunset, you're like, oh, this is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. And you've got about 15 minutes of that. And when I say like, it's like being with a wild animal, like when you see a wild animal sleep, that's when you can really appreciate it. When you've got like this one little window where it's like not trying to kill you, you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's gorgeous. That's very majestic.
That's where you would want to live for the
no
for
I'm
the,
saying these, I'm asking you where you'd want to live, and then I'm giving you the opposite answer.
Okay.
Which is, every time I go there, I'm like, why did they do this? These are cute little this is a cute little town. I mean, its history is cute. Why did you do it here? If I could answer, let's see, where would I go? What places have tempted me other than, oh, so sorry. I'm all over the place.
Like, do you want to go back to Colorado?
Yeah, I thought I would at some point. Colorado's great. I think I would love to live in like Denver or Boulder.
Yeah.
Someday. But I will say like the areas around Moab, Utah, or Slick Rock, even along the San Juan River, there's like, that's like desert where I'm like, oh, I could live here. This is a desert I can really get behind.
Man, and it's a desert.
It's not like it doesn't get hot there. I just like dry places and I like warm places.
I don't think I knew that you were drawn to deserts. I hate that. That's awful. I'm such a fucking beach rat.
I don't know. I feel like those are two heads of the same coin though. What is it about the beach that draws you in?
Ocean. I want to get smacked by waves. I want to jump in the water and be connected to a thing that is larger than anything that I have on land.
Okay, but the sandy beach can fuck right off then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're right. We're different people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places around Utah where you can, there's just like these bodies of water that you can swim in. And they're warm because it's, you know, desert.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I'd live. I don't even want to think about that because.
It's all right. Hey, don't worry about it.
I don't want to be here either.
We don't need to talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know, man. Let's find a place to live for me, I guess. I've been to the rainforest.
Uh-huh.
I've lived in the mountains. I've been to the beaches. There's so much of it that I'm just like, nah, I just don't care for it.
So where you live right now is not city living. If work forced you to move to a city, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I could live in a city again.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I love being part of a city. It's where you are right now. How close are you to New York?
1 hour and 17 minutes.
Okay. So that's not, I mean, you're close.
Sure.
Imagine a beach town that's like in Corpus Christi or somewhere like that. Do you know where that is?
Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if I lived in a small town that was also completely removed from a city, I think a big, big city, then I think I would feel very unplugged and I would start to get very lonely.
Okay.
I mean, I don't live in the middle of a city right now, but I live close to a big city. And there's something very comforting about that. It feels like I'm still plugged in.
Man.
But I also grew up in a very small town that where I was, and in a house where I was not by any means. And yeah. Did nothing but dream about that.
I think
dreamed about my friends who lived in apartments because I was like, they all just, they're there together.
Yeah.
Like if they want to see a friend, they just bike to the friend's house or they just go down to the next floor and knock on a door.
It's city living is so loud is my main thing.
Okay.
I can't handle all the noise of honking and city bullshit.
You're not getting any of that where you are?
No, we don't have traffic lights. We don't even have cops in my town.
God, that is small. Okay.
It's very small.
You could kill somebody there. That would be great.
Sure.
You say there are no cops, right?
Yeah. No cops or streetlights. It's pretty free.
Doesn't even make sense to me. I can't even imagine that there's still towns like that. That sounds like 1950 to me.
I know. It's the best.
What? That can't be true. How can there not be police? What happens when there's a crime committed there?
We call the police department for the neighboring town. But there aren't really a lot of crimes here.
Is it run by a dog?
Most of the crimes are reported on Nextdoor. And it's always just like, hey, someone broke into my car just because I left it unlocked. And it's like, well, you deserve that.
Here's another question, and this isn't a knock against you for choosing this place at all.
Okay.
What's the racial makeup of this community?
Next question, please.
If let's say, a very nice Indian couple moved in, would that be the talk of the community?
100%.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so there's these drawbacks.
Yes.
We spent some time in Minnesota a couple summers ago, and I was like, this place is utopia. It's gorgeous here. We were there in the summer, obviously, but I was like, this is perfect. The weather is perfect all the time. It's lush. It rains every afternoon. Like, this is gorgeous. And then we went up into the lakes, like northern Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And as we got up there, I was like, would it be crazy if we just like moved up here? Like, what if we just got a place to live and we would just ride out the global warming apocalypse here? And then I realized very quickly, like, oh, these aren't my people up here. there's some real darkness and some right-wing conspiracy theories being brewed as we speak right here.
Yeah, it's a fairly white town where I live, which is unfortunate, but you know, I'm moving to a different white town.
That's not, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I do think it's by design. I would hope not.
No. Ugh. Hey, quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Soren, have you watched any movies lately?
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm in the middle of one. And when I say I'm in the middle of one, I'm about 6 days in. Because that's how I watch movies now. I'm sure you've seen it. Medieval?
What the fuck is that?
Dan, have I seen a movie that you haven't seen? Let me make sure this is the actual title of it.
It sounds like it.
2022 film.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This is on Hulu. Oh, this is so exciting. Let me tell you about Medieval.
Okay.
There's a movie on Hulu right now. I don't know if it was like originally a Hulu movie or what the fuck, if it ever came out in theaters. But it stars one of my favorite actors, and I feel like he's completely an under-the-radar guy. Do you know who Ben Foster is?
I do, and I know you love him so much.
So much. I've never seen a thing that I hate him in.
Yeah.
Let me give people a rundown of what he's been in. Hell or High Water, he's the brother. Mm-hmm. Alpha Dog, he's also the brother.
He's the brother,
He's the brother of the kid that gets kidnapped. Probably most famously, 310 to Yuma.
310 to Yuma, he was Charlie Prince. He was also a very high profile movie. X-Men 3, he was Angel.
Oh, right. That sucked.
That's a big one. Yeah. It sucked. But like that was, I think, the biggest thing he's done.
Yeah. So he's officially in the MCU.
Yeah.
So also, Michael Caine is in this movie.
Michael Caine.
Will you do that again?
Michael Caine. Is that good?
I can't tell. You know, the problem is that he never says his own name. So it was a very interesting name for you to choose to like get you into character. Mr. Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Wayne.
Mr. Wayne. Mr. Wayne. Mr. Batman. Mr. Wayne.
Yeah.
That's what Cody used to do.
Okay. That's right.
Anyway, this is a movie called Medieval. It's about a mercenary in medieval times, right around the time they had two popes. This isn't a thing I understood or knew. But Rome at some point built another pope from nothing in France. And this is about that pope's installment. And I'm on board with this movie. I immediately, with a period piece where I know nothing about the time period, I buy into everything. Everything must be 100% real to me.
What made you pick this movie? Was it just Ben Foster?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also have a real thing in the same way where I have like this fetish when I go into gas stations across the country, I have to try a juice or drink I've never had before. Mm-hmm. I know that they're going to be bad. There's a reason I haven't had it before.
Right.
Like it's somehow local or it's like, it has not branched out to mass appeal.
Yeah.
The same way with movies, the idea of having the free time to watch a bad movie is more appealing to me than watching a good movie. Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
It's like a symbol to myself when I watch a bad movie and take the time to watch a bad movie where I'm like, or give a movie a shot, I guess, like a bad movie or a movie that didn't have any sort of mass release. Like I'm like, oh, I could just do this. And that sort of like wealth of time feels very good to me.
Okay.
So I choose some strange ones. And so I chose this one because I'd never heard of it and because Ben Foster was in it. And Dan, I'm happy to report 6 days in, I'm still going. It's been good.
Is he one of the popes or is he?
No. He's a mercenary.
Okay.
He's a mercenary who is supposed to kidnap this woman who's of high high status, and yikes, look out, Dan, he's starting to fall in love with her.
This movie has a lot going on, it sounds like.
Yeah, somehow that's related to the popes.
There are two popes, and it seems like that is the third most interesting thing happening.
Yeah, well, I'm giving it some patience and some rope to really tie it all together by the end. You're right. They have set out a tall order for themselves. So far, the popes have not come into it too much, but the whole prologue was about them.
But so you brought Ben Foster up and you mentioned Hell or High Water. You saw that movie?
Yeah.
The movie fucking rules.
It's an incredible movie.
I love it so much.
That did well, didn't it?
I don't think so. I don't remember it being in theaters.
Yeah, I watched that on my television.
Yeah.
It's also got one of my favorite country music singers. And that's a crazy thing for me to say.
Yeah.
Do you know who Colt?
No.
Colton Waller? Nope.
No. Wherever this goes. No, okay. I don't.
You've never heard of Colton Waller?
No.
Okay. He's got a song. There's a song in there called Sleeping on the Blacktop that you should listen to.
Okay.
And first, just listen to it. Then go like find a video of this guy singing it, because whatever you're imagining in your mind of like who this person is, I guarantee you when you see the singer, you're gonna be like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Don't even look at pictures of him until you see it.
As time goes on,
one second. Coulter Wall.
Coulter Wall. Up. Okay.
Coulter Wall.
As time goes on, I am increasingly enamored by Chris Pine. I think he is the fucking guy. I think he's so charming. I think he's so handsome. I think he's so funny in everything. I just watched him in the Dungeons and Dragons movie, and he's incredible in that. He's just good in everything, and I don't want to hear a single bad thing about Chris Pine.
Have you seen Smoking Aces?
Yes.
I think he's like the best part of that.
He's
whole
so
movie.
Good.
And that's the first thing that I really saw him in, you know, like, I see you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he was in stuff before then, but that was the first thing where I was like, holy shit, who is this?
I don't know if he'll ever be like Academy Award nominee Chris Pine, but he is just, he deserves some kind of special designation for how good he is separately from being a good actor, which he might not be.
I think he is. I think he's an excellent actor. You don't think so?
I don't know. I think he's just really, he's like super charming and likable.
That's part of being a good actor, isn't it? Isn't that being part of, like, it's that draw of the superstardom?
I guess. What's the best acting he's done? What's his best role?
Oh, I gotta say, that episode of American Dad called Rabbit Ears. That's true. We had him on.
That's nice. That's cool.
I wish that I could have been there for that.
Yeah.
I would say his best piece of acting is probably, now I'm going to have to defend this. Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Because that's heavy lifting for him.
Yeah.
In that film. And he's so compelling to watch. He's believable. Mm-hmm. He has to be like the perfect man in it.
Yeah.
And he nails it.
He does. I think my favorite Chris Pine performance might be This Means War, a little scene movie with him and Reese Witherspoon and Tom Hardy from a couple of years ago, where it was like two spies who are also in love with the same woman. The plot doesn't matter. He was just fucking great in it.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
And Tom Hardy was great in it too. It's such a good movie. It's such a fun movie. It's like in the same vein of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Just a
yeah, that's what it sounds like. Okay.
A blast.
Well, all right. I mean, I would have watched it when I thought it was bad, but now that you told me it's good, I can't possibly spend my time on it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
That's all right. I think we're probably circling the drain on this episode.
Let's kill it.
Yeah. Do you want to do the outro?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you so fucking much.
Hey, everybody. This is Quick Question. Of course, you already know that. Daniel, who's one of the co-hosts of the show, you can follow him on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. Soren Bowie, I'm the other co-host. You can follow me on Twitter at @Soren_LTD. You can also follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. We have a sound engineer, producer, editor in Gabe Harder, although he's not with us today. Today we have the incomparable Jacob Weinstein doing it for us. And if you like our theme song, that's by Me Rex. You can find their music at merex.bandcamp.com or wherever you get your music. That's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
I think you'll have a great time here.